The Pied Piper. A long time ago, the town of Hamelin was invaded by bands of rats, the like of which had never been seen before, nor ever will be again. They were great black creatures that ran boldly in broad daylight through the streets, and swarmed so all over the houses that people could not put their hand or foot down anywhere without touching one. When dressing in the morning, they found them in their breeches and petticoats, in their pockets and in their boots, and when they wanted a morsel to eat, the voracious horde had swept away everything from cellar to attic. The night was even worse. As soon as the lights were out, these untiring nibblers set to work, and everywhere, in the ceilings, in the floors, in the cupboards, at the doors, there was a chase and a rummage, and so furious a noise of teeth and claws that a deaf man could not have rested for even an hour. Neither cats nor dogs, nor poison nor traps, nor prayers nor candles burnt to all the saints would do anything. The more they killed, the more they came, and the inhabitants of Hamelin began to go to the dogs. When one Friday there arrived in the town a man with a long face who played the pipe. He was a great, gawky fellow, dry and bronzed, with a crooked nose, a long rat-tail mustache, two great yellow piercing and mocking eyes, under a large felt hat, set off by a scarlet feather. He was dressed in a green jacket, with a leather belt and red pants, and on his feet were sandals fastened by thongs, passed round his legs in the gypsy fashion. That is how he may be seen to this day, painted on a window of the Cathedral of Hamelin. He stopped in the great marketplace before the town hall, turned his back on the church, and went on with his music. The town council had just assembled to consider once more this plague of rats, from which no one could save the town. The stranger sent word to the town council that if they would make it worth his while, he would rid them of all their rats before night, down to the very last.
"Then he is a sorcerer!" cried the citizens with one voice. "We must beware of him!"
The mayor, who was considered clever, reassured them. He said,
"Sorcerer or no, if this piper speaks the truth, it is he who has sent this horrible vermin that he wants to rid us of today for money. Well, we must learn to catch the devil in his own snares. You leave it to me."
"Leave it to the mayor,"
said the citizens one to another, and the stranger was brought before them.
"Before night," he said, "I shall have dispatched all the rats in Hamelin if you will but pay me 1 gold coin for each head."
"A coin a head?" cried the citizens. "But that will come to millions."
The mayor simply shrugged his shoulders and said to the stranger,
"A bargain. To work. You will be paid 1 coin a rat head as you ask."
The Pied Piper announced that he would get to work that very evening when the moon rose. He added that the townspeople should at that hour leave the streets free and content themselves with looking out their windows at what was happening, and that it would be a pleasant spectacle. When the people of Hamelin heard of the bargain, they too exclaimed,
A coin a head? But this will cost us a lot of money.
Leave it to the mayor, said the town council with a sly air. And the good people of Hamelin repeated with their counselors, Leave it to the mayor.
Toward 9 at night, the piper reappeared in the marketplace. He turned his back to the church, and the moment the moon rose on the horizon, he played his first notes on his pipe. It was first a slow, caressing sound, then more and more lively and urgent, and so sonorous and piercing that it penetrated as far as the farthest alleys and retreats of the town. Soon from the bottom of the cellars, the tops of the roofs, from under all the furniture, from all the nooks and corners of the houses, out come the rats. Search for the door, fling themselves into the streets, and trip, trip, trip begin to run in file towards the front of the town hall, so squeezed together that they covered the pavement like flooding waves. When the square was quite full, the piper turned around and, still playing briskly, turned toward the river that runs at the foot of the walls of Hamelin. When he got to the river bank, he turned round. The rats were following. Hop, hop, he cried, pointing with his finger to the middle of the stream where the water whirled and was drawn down as if through a funnel. And hop, hop, without hesitating, the rats took the leap, plunged straight to the bottom and disappeared. The plunging continued without stopping till midnight. At last, dragging himself with difficulty, came a big rat, white with age, and stopped on the bank. It was the king of the rats. Are they all in the river, King Rat? Asked the piper.
They are all there, replied the King Rat.
And how many are they?
990,999.
Exactly that many?
Exactly that many, said the King Rat.
Then go and join them, old sire. Then the old white rat sprang into the river, swam into the whirlpool, and disappeared. When the piper had ended his business, he went to bed at the inn, and for the first time during 3 months, the people of Hamelin slept quietly through the night. The next morning, at 9 o'clock, the piper went to the town hall where the town council awaited him.
All your rats took a jump into the river yesterday, said he to the councillors, and I guarantee that not one of them comes back. They were 990,999 at one gold coin a head.
Let us count the heads first, said the mayor. Where are the heads?
The piper did not expect this sly trick. He paled with anger, and his eyes flashed fire.
The heads!
Cried he.
If you care about them, go and find them in the river.
Well, replied the mayor,
we could refuse to pay you anything at all, but you have been of use to us, and we will not let you go without a little something. Here, take these 4 gold coins.
Keep your 4 pieces for yourself, replied the piper proudly. If you do not pay me what you owe, I will be paid by your children. Then he pulled his hat down over his eyes, walked quickly out of the hall, and left the town without speaking to a soul. When the Hamelin people heard how it had all ended, they rubbed their hands and laughed at the piper, who, they said, was caught in his own trap. But what made them laugh above all was his threat of getting himself paid by their children. Ha! They knew a fool when they saw one. The next day, which was a Sunday, they all went happily to church, thinking that after Mass they would at last be able to eat some good food that the rats had not tasted before them.
They never suspected the terrible surprise that awaited them on their return home. No children anywhere. They had all disappeared.
"Our children! Where are our poor children?"
was the cry that was soon heard in all the streets. Then through the east door of the town came three little boys who cried and wept, and this is what they told. While the parents were at church, a wonderful music had been heard. Soon all the little boys and all the little girls that had been left at home had gone out, attracted by the magic sounds, and had rushed to the great marketplace. There they found the piper playing his pipe at the same spot as the evening before. Then the stranger had begun to walk quickly, and they had followed, running, singing, and dancing to the sound of the music, all the way to the foot of the mountain outside Hamelin. At their approach, the mountain had opened a little, and the piper had gone in with them, after which it had closed again. Only the three little ones who told the adventure had remained outside, as if by a miracle. One was lame and could not run fast enough. The other, who had left the house in only one shoe, had hurt himself against a big stone and could not walk. The third had arrived in time, but in hurrying to go in with the others, had run so hard into the wall of the mountain that he fell backwards at the moment it closed upon his friends. At this story, all the parents cried out in horror. They ran with sticks and shovels to the mountain and searched till evening to find the opening by which their children had disappeared, without being able to find it. At last, with night falling, they returned to Hamelin. But the most unhappy of all was the mayor, for he lost all his children. And to crown it all, the people of Hamelin chased him out of town, forgetting that the evening before they had all agreed with him. What had become of all those unfortunate children? The parents always hoped they were not dead, and that the piper, who certainly must have come out of the mountain, would have taken them with him to his country. That is why, for several years, they sent ships to search for them. No shore was left unvisited, no sea unsailed, and year after year, the ships returned home empty, to everyone's great sorrow. And so the citizens of Hamelin, to remind themselves of how foolish they had been to misjudge the musical stranger, painted his image on the window of the cathedral, and never forgot the day their children had vanished.